Hello, everyone, and welcome back to My Curiously Queer Life. It has been, it's been some tough lessons this week. I've been moving through this life with the idea that at the core, everyone is good and kind, and they will always choose the correct path, but it's really not the case. I was so fixated on this concept for the past few months that people are good and righteous and they will come correct, and it's just some hard lessons to learn that people aren't good. Not always. And sometimes in this life we need the bad people. I don't want to say bad people because it sounds judgy, but people who haven't found a way to walk through life correct. It all sounds so judgy. I don't mean it to sound judgy, because I walked incorrect for a very long time, and I'm not judging anyone. It's not the purpose of this. In this process, though, I have learned a couple new lessons and a quote that has been floating around in my life for a long time, and at the time it didn't make any sense, and now it is something that I look to constantly to be able to keep moving forward with my ideas of life and my journey and my purpose. So a lesson this week that came to me was, everyone on this planet has a very different perception of life. Our roads lead in very different directions, and they may intersect from time to time, but everyone's perception of that moment, of that time, of that space that we're sharing is very, very different. And we need to learn to pause, remember that the person sitting in front of us is not seeing that space the same way that we're seeing, and to remember to move forward on our path with our choices, with our lessons, with our integrity, and not to allow their perception to pull us from our path. The second lesson was hard, and that people in this life are not always good. They move through life carrying their traumas and in self-preservation mode with no awareness or no real care for the people that they are hurting by not caring. But in that moment, I realized that we need these people. They teach us valuable lessons about who we are and what we want to present to the world. They give us the ability to be able to shine as bright as we want to shine, because they bring the shadows and the darkness. And without those people living in that space, we wouldn't be able to shine. They give context to what is good in this life, and they help us grow. So I am immensely grateful to have those people in my life. I am grateful for the lessons that they teach me, and I am grateful because they help me hold steadfast on my light of joy, kindness, and love. And finally, the quote that has been rolling around in my head was given to me by my uncle when I was struggling so hard at the end of high school. I was probably months away from graduating, and it was just so bad, the bullying and the insecurities, that I was begging my mom to let me quit and not go back there, begging. But my uncle showed up, and he sat me down And he said, if you can't roll with them, then you roll the fuck over them. And at the time, I was like, I don't want to roll with them. I don't want to roll the fuck over them. But now I so understand that. And I have to walk alone in this life with only this idea by myself. I'll do it. Because I know that it is good and it is genuine and it is inclusive and loving and caring. And I fall down sometimes, but I stand up and I get back on this road and I don't allow those people that want to tear me down or push me back into a box or pretend like my feelings don't matter. I will never, ever let them do that to me. That is my opening for this week. We are going to move on to what was chapter 11 before I interjected my story from my present. So this is chapter 12, part one, My Sister, Cowboys, and the Twins. The decision to relocate to Calgary presented itself as a solution to a problem I had yet to recognize. During childhood, we are not taught to look inward, confront difficult conversations with our loved ones, or mend the fractures within our family. My family roots were marred by deep-seated brokenness that deemed acknowledgement. Unspoken pain lingered, overshadowed by layers of generational trauma that propelled us into a state of self-preservation. The choice to join my pregnant sister in Calgary seemed like a natural progression. Both of us needing family support, a reunion appeared serendipitous. However, upon arrival, I could feel how unhappy my sister was at that time. Another shitty man taking advantage of our shattered family soul. His prolonged absence hinted at infidelity, triggering familiar patterns of withdrawal and self-blame within our family narrative of unworthiness. As I settled into life with them, rekindling the bond with my sister brought a sense of joy, tainted by the realization that we had evolved into very unfamiliar versions of ourselves. Clinging to the outdated perception of each other as a source of safety hindered our ability to embrace growth and changes. Our collective blindness to each other's vulnerability erected formidable walls of trauma, challenging us to acquire the skills needed to dismantle them. So, just as my mom, I have written a letter to my sister. I can't go into details of living with my sister without sharing private stories that belong to her. So, this next part is a letter to my sister. Hello, sister from another mister. It's funny. I only now realized how true that is. It's been a while since we've truly connected. I was so angry with you. I am not sure when we stopped liking one another. Let's face it, we have been tolerating each other for a very long time now. I don't think you like me very much. I know you love your brother. But there seems to be a detached animosity towards the man that I have become. And that's okay. Please don't harbor guilt for that sentiment. It's not why I'm saying it. Our paths have diverged significantly, leading us to this moment of reflection. I recall a painful statement that I once made. I said, if you weren't my sister, I'm not sure we would be friends. I understand the hurt that this has caused you and the profound impact that it had on our relationship. I lacked the ability to convey the depth of that sentiment back then, but I have the power to articulate it now. I recognize that my presence in your world is conditional, regulated by your terms and regulations. As a gay individual, I find myself in a perpetual state of editing my true self to fit into your narrative. who I am as a whole is not celebrated in your world. I'm not talking about the superficial stuff. I'm talking about comments like, why does everything have to be so gay with you all the time? It's about the subtle remarks like, you are selfish and disgusting that chip away at my authenticity. In your world, everything adheres to a straight orientation, and I am expected to partake in that celebration every time you reach out. Do you know when Pride Parade is? Have you ever asked me to go to Pride or throw a Pride party? When is it appropriate age for someone to know that love comes in different forms? I'm not talking about physical sex. I'm talking about love for a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a woman, or a they and a them, a he and a she, an up and a down, a left and a right. It doesn't matter. It comes in endless forms. I feel like my sexuality has to be put back into the closet when I'm in your life. Have I ever made you feel like your sexuality had to be put away when you were in my life? And if you think for one second that would never be because a man and a woman is the correct way to live, that's the problem. I cannot endure an existence where I am made to feel unacceptable, repulsive, or kept in the shadows. You tolerate my existence because I am your sibling, out of a sense of obligation rather than a genuine acceptance, and that's understandable. It is all right that our paths have led us to this place where our perspectives diverge. What became unbearable was the sense of being tolerated and the pressure to edit myself to conform to the standards of your life. I empathize with the roots of your apprehension and the origins of your phobia. Our lives have been very turbulent and messy. They often veered into inappropriate behaviors. Very inappropriate behaviors for children growing up. Your coping mechanism is the same as the rest of us. To be the drastic opposite, striving for the idyllic family setup of a mom, dad, kids, and a pristine home with a white picket fence where queerness doesn't quite fit in. Because of the trauma that we experienced growing up, everything that you never had as a child is everything that you want now. I respect your vision, but I refuse to inhabit a realm where the faucet of my identity must be concealed to maintain others' comfort. There are billions of people on this planet, and every one of them have walked a very different road to get here. There are lots of ways to love in this life, not just a man and a woman. I wish for you to embark on a journey towards healing. Life truly blossoms when you confront the challenges head on. Break down those walls of trauma. Have those heart-to-heart conversations with mom. Share tears of release and revel in laughter that echoes through your being. Every morning when we awaken, we deserve to embrace joy until the end of time because we've endured enough pain already. Recently, I came across a profound notion that I wish to impart on you. Depression dwells in the mind, tethered to the past. Anxiety fixates on the uncertain future, while peace resides in the serenity of the present moment. I aspire for you to grasp the essence of this wisdom, discover the tranquil state between those two worlds. The past holds no dominion over us any longer. The future unfolds as a canvas for you to paint on. Embrace the essence of the now, celebrating the harmony found in the space between past and future. That my dear sister, is where your true serenity awaits. Be the architect of your joy. Feel it, heal it, and release it into the wind. It is a burden you no longer need to carry. Embrace the uncharted. Trust in the mysteries of life once again. When I delved into the depths of my trauma, I found myself in a month-long slumber. The constant state of readiness for battle, whether physical or emotional, had drained me so deeply. But relinquishing that weight was akin to a deep, restful sigh before sinking into a comforting sleep. Some days may echo the past, but they diminish with time, replaced by moments of joy, happiness, not having to worry if the people around you are going to hurt you. Are they going to leave you? We, you, me, and Mom deserve to be in space where we don't have to worry about the people around us. And if that means you have to go find new people to put around you, then you should go find new people to put around you. It's okay. We will always be family, but we will just be a family at a distance for now. And like I told Mom, maybe somewhere down the road when we all find healing and we wake up in a space where we're okay and we find each other again, then maybe that's it. But for now, I have so much more healing to do. I know where we come from. I know where we were at when we parted ways. So I know that there is a lot to do on your end and on Mom's end as well. And for the love of God, prioritize yourself. Just do you sometimes. You're not a mother. You're not a daughter. You're not a sister. You're not a wife. You can just be you. Because when you find a space to just be you, the tank that you have for everyone else slowly starts to fill up. It is not selfish to want time that only belongs to you. A space where you can take all those other hats off and just sit and be you. And maybe you don't know who you are anymore because there's so many hats that we have to put on to take care of the people around us, to make sure that the people around us are comfortable. But you need to start taking those hats off. Everyone, anyone hearing this, take all those hats off sometimes and just sit in your own space. And finally, I know that you have a family and you are a good wife, a good daughter, and a good mother. Sometimes take tiny walks through the woods alone and heal that child within. Learn to love yourself again. Forever, your brother, Abu. All right, everyone. That is the end of, that is part one of chapter 12. I am going to say this a million times. I am so, so grateful to be sitting in this moment, in this space, with the power to heal myself. My life could have been very different. I have spent a very long time tiptoeing on that line between addiction and maintaining a life and sex with strangers and hookups and handjobs and everything else in between. Oh my. But I pushed through. And there is some higher power guiding me, and you can name it whatever you want to name it because they're all the same. It's the space when we're alone, when we look up to the sky and we ask for help and we ask for direction. And nobody on this planet can say that they've never done it because I know that we all do it. Something has made sure that I was able to get to this moment to do this, so I am grateful to them, to it, to the people that I have met down the road to get to here. So thank you. All right, everyone, that's it for this week. And like always, fill your tank up with joy, love, and kindness. And when you feel that tank spilling over the sides, you share it with the people around you. My name is Thomas St. James, and this is My Curiously Queer Life.